How's it going, Creator Nation? Chris Thomas here. Hope you're having a great day kind of day. And I also hope that your year has started off on the right foot. Last time on Creator Nation, Greta Thicktongue and Dominic Taylor filled in for me. I was taking a little bit of a break to ring in the new year. And I also hope that your New Year's festivities were exciting. But on this installment of Creator Nation, I'm here with substitute teacher Paul Dawson. He's here to talk about his concerns about the TV show Friends no longer being on Netflix because he uses that in the classroom. Paul, how are you?
Hello, it's a very sad thing to overcome. I just don't understand it. Why Netflix and the people who own the rights to Friends can't come to a deal so that Friends can stay on Netflix for as long as possible. At the very least, have Friends stay on Netflix until it moves to a new streaming service, because I like to show episodes of Friends to my students. They seem to enjoy Friends. I don't know what it is about the generation of the kids these days, but you know, you show them a few episodes of Friends and they really give you positive marks as a substitute teacher.
Now, Paul, the thing is, though, is that if I'm understanding you, you're showing episodes of Friends when you should be going over the materials that the usual teacher assigned you to go over, right?
Well, you know, as a substitute teacher, you have to fill in a lot of slots, and, you know, on a given day, you're going to be asked to fill in a math class or a history class, and I'm not an expert. I don't know a lot of these subjects, so expecting me to be able to instruct and provide lessons in these areas is a bit unrealistic. And besides, I think there's a lot to learn from watching old episodes of Friends. I really do think that.
Now, if you give a screening of Friends on Netflix to the students, what is the educational value, really?
Well, you seem to be asking the same question over and over, but what I'm trying to say is that all of that is immaterial to the fact that I cannot teach all these different subjects. I mean, if you were to ask me some questions.
And yeah, actually, yes, Paul, I was going to ask you some questions about material, because I am curious about, you know, your knowledge about some basics that you would go over in a classroom setting.
Well, I mean, if your intent is to embarrass me and make me feel bad about myself on your podcast, go right ahead. You know, if that helps you sleep at night, go ahead by all means.
I'm not trying to embarrass you. It's just I'm curious. So, for example, with the Pythagorean theorem, what is the Pythagorean theorem? What does it stand for? Or what is it essentially saying?
The Pythagorean theorem?
Yeah, Pythagorean theorem.
Oh, okay, Pythagorean theorem. It does ring a bell. It seems familiar. I think that's the prediction that you will not survive if you fly too close to the sun. Yeah, it predicts that you're not going to survive if you fly too close to the sun.
Well, Paul, I think you're talking about Icarus. The Pythagorean theorem is a mathematical prediction.
Well, what do you want from me? Do you want me to give you a gold star for the day? What are you getting at?
Well, I'm just trying to learn what you know about some of these things that you might be asked to teach as a substitute teacher.
Okay, well, let's hear some more of your real great questions.
Don't get hostile. I'm just trying to learn. Learn what you know. Okay, so here's one right here. What does E equals MC squared stand for?
E equals MC squared. Okay, this sounds like something you would talk about in home economics. Home economics, yeah. So, home ec. I would go with, it sounds like a recipe to me. So, enchiladas equals meat times cheese to the second power, because a lot of cheese is like a double serving of cheese. So you're taking it to the second power. That's a lot of cheese. You put a lot of cheese in enchiladas.
No, that's not it. That's not it. E equals MC squared is physics, not home ec.
Well, I don't understand what your motivation is here, really. I really don't. I was here to talk about Friends on Netflix.
Well, I'm just trying to understand why. So you're saying in every class that you're assigned to serve as a substitute, you just show them episodes of Friends and they just do whatever they want?
Well, I mean, the thing is that Friends is such a good show that the students are not goofing off. They're enamored with the dynamics of everyone playing around and being goofy at Central Perk. So it really is a way to bring the class together. Yeah, I found that there's been no disruptive students when Friends is being shown. And if this is a way to prevent mass harm incidents, well, I don't want to say a provocative word, you know, shooting or anything like that.
Oh, God. So you're saying Friends can prevent things like that from happening, acts of violence?
Well, I mean, if you show the students Friends, I mean, they're going to be friends with each other.
All right. Let me just continue with this quiz, okay?
Well, doesn't it sound like I have a choice? I want to talk about Matt LeBlanc and, you know, what a great job he did as Joey.
Okay, well, to put that aside for a moment, who was the first U.S. president to resign? So a little bit of American history for you.
Are you saying resign like sign a contract extension? Or do you mean resign to quit?
I've never heard of a president signing a contract extension. So it is asking you, who was the first U.S. president to resign. And it's, I'll give you a hint. There's only been one U.S. president that has ever resigned. So the first U.S. president to resign has been the only U.S. president to resign.
Oh, so you're admitting that you're giving us kind of a trick question with wordplay.
It's not a trick question. Just who is the single U.S. president to resign? As in quit. Don't look at me that way.
Okay, I think it was, resign. I think it was Ronald Reagan after he confused a jar of jelly beans for Nancy Reagan, his wife, and then he started kissing the jar of jelly beans with passion. So a lot of people said, Ronald Reagan has lost his mind and he has to resign. I think that's it.
No, it was Richard Nixon because of the Watergate scandal.
Oh, the person that has the answer on the card acts like a big shot.
No, come on, Paul. So let's just finish this up, because, you know, I know you serve as a substitute teacher for a lot of different subjects. So let's move on to English. Who wrote Romeo and Juliet?
Ooh, Romeo and Juliet. Okay, I actually have been asked to have students read Romeo and Juliet in class. Okay, so I might know this one. There was the movie with Leonardo DiCaprio. So, you know, knowing Hollywood, it was probably written in the early 90s because Hollywood tries to cash in on, you know, hot and fresh books that come out. So I'm thinking that Romeo and Juliet was written in the early 90s, and I want to say it was written by either Dean Koontz or Tom Clancy, because those were the most popular authors of the time that I was aware of, at the very least.
Paul, Romeo and Juliet was written hundreds of years ago by William Shakespeare.
Wow. Ooh, okay, great. You know, this is a trivia contest. What does this have to do with learning? I think the students learn more watching Friends on Netflix than finding out who wrote some play about, Romeo and Juliet, whatever that play thing's about. You know, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is.
If memory serves correct, you have served as a substitute for phys ed.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, so in basketball, what does the term traveling mean? What does the term traveling stand for?
Oh, traveling. Okay. Oh, now this is basketball, and I'm just going to say it, basketball is often played by urban individuals.
Oh, good.
And so traveling probably means grabbing a player by their dreadlocks and dragging them across the court while you have their dreadlocks in your hand. You're just, you know, pulling them and rolling them around on the court, and that's considered a personal foul.
Paul, somehow you've managed to get every single question wrong here.
Oh, well, I mean, what are you trying to say? So you're saying I can't be a substitute teacher because I get high ratings when I show the students, the friends on Netflix. And with the new semester coming up, you know, Netflix isn't showing Friends. So when I'm a substitute teacher, what am I going to do? I'm very scared. I'm breaking into a sweat just thinking about it. And not being able to show Friends to the students. The thought of it is giving me the shakes. You know, this is just very scary. They say that Friends is going to be streaming in May on this new service, HBO Max, but, you know, I'm operating on a substitute teacher's salary. I can't just be buying different streaming services. So, what answer do you have, genius, since you have the answers to all the questions?
Well, Paul, it's just a matter of maybe in this downtime before the semester gets started up again, you study up on some of the subjects that you get asked to teach or serve as a substitute teacher for, so you have a bit more of a background in these areas and you feel comfortable teaching in these areas.
That's the dumbest idea I've ever heard in my life. That you're just, you know, I mean, you're not, you might have all the answers, but you're not very bright, I have to say. And I'm going to tell you now, I've called Netflix customer service to register my complaints. And I said, if you don't put Friends back on Netflix within, you know, the next few weeks before the semester starts, I'm going to find out where you live. I'm going to throw eggs at your house. And I didn't come out and explicitly say it, but I said it would be very unfortunate if the customer service representative's family members suddenly started disappearing.
That's what you'll do, is resort to those kind of acts just because a show is no longer on a streaming service.
Well, I mean, I'm really stuck here. I'm trying to get upstream without a paddle. The Friends on Netflix is my paddle. That's how I survive. And I have to say that one time I did get in trouble with my interaction with a student regarding Friends.
Oh, so it hasn't always been positive.
Well, I mean, there was this one incident because, you know, as an avid viewer of Friends, I have grown to love Jennifer Aniston, especially with the Rachel Bob haircut of hers. And I was a substitute teacher in an art class.
and a student had done a charcoal drawing that was so realistic of Rachel that I got so transfixed by it and turned on by it that when I screened the episode of Friends, I surreptitiously acquired the charcoal drawing, and I went behind the teacher's desk and I started to touch myself to the charcoal drawing. So you were choking the chicken to a charcoal drawing of Jennifer Aniston. Well, it was the Rachel Bob haircut era Jennifer Aniston, who is my favorite. So I would prefer that you wouldn't be so judgmental. I mean, I think this whole interview was a ruse to judge me. And if that's the way it's going to be, I think maybe I should also throw some eggs at your house. Oh, okay. So you're the one who is sitting in a classroom, takes a student's charcoal drawing from the assignment pile, goes behind a desk with students present and starts manipulating your junk, and I'm the one that is the bad guy?
I just don't understand it. Why is everyone always on my case? I'm a good person. I just don't understand.
Well, Paul, I think before the semester starts, you'll have some time to reflect on what you have done. Maybe learn how to teach.
Oh, shove it.
And on that note, we'll see you next time, Grade A Nation. Thank you for listening. And please, whatever you do, do not pump off to a child's drawing of Jennifer Aniston.
It, oh God, you know, I did make a stain on it, I do admit.
Okay, everyone, goodbye.